Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth.
And sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt. We are Jack and Jill, and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about foreclosing on tax liens for land acquisitions. This is honestly one of my favorite topics ever. Great show. Let's take an acquisition. Listen to me. I'm already starting. Let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Okay. Jeff asks, hi all. I'm working through the program and a question I'm having is in regards to my phone calls being answered. I'd like to get a number and not use my cell.
Yeah.
I also use this for my full-time job and I have been contemplating which way to go. What do you do? Do you let the phone go to voicemail and call back? Or do you try to have someone answer the phone all the time? If so, and you're working a full-time job, how do you do this? Thank you, Jeff. This was for everybody to answer on, so I thought it'd be fun to throw in here.
Do you want to answer it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
First choice, of course, is try to get somebody to answer the phone. That's my first choice. And there's the, you know, maybe you have a wife at home. I mean, it may sound silly, but what if you're working and the wife's home with the kids? Can she answer the phone and just feel the calls and just kind of take down the information, be a friendly voice on the other line? She may not be able to make the decisions or anything like that, but that's okay. Just be a friendly voice on the other end saying, hey, this is great. Oh gosh, you know, when my husband gets home, you know, what's a good time for you? He'll get back to you. You know, and I'll pass that on, you know, that kind of thing. That's my first choice. My second choice is, have a really good voicemail or system. You may be able to hire that out. Jack, you're looking at me like, what's your thing? I mean, hire it out, sub it out. I'm looking to you, Jack.
Oh, the right way to do it.
Like, wait.
There's a lot of ways to do it.
And I'm like, and I Jill, thought you had
Jill's
an
right.
opinion on this.
Jill's so right I'm about the whole thing.
Trying to pull you in.
The way that I would recommend, and they make it so easy now, is to, it's nothing like when we started. You know, we literally took our home phone number and then converted it into it's a long thing. But here's the right way to do it. Go out on the internet and find a phone number that you can buy. If you want to do it another way, you can do it through Google Voice, where you can get it for free. Google Voice is a good answer if you're really on a budget or you want to do it on the fly. But you can go on the internet and buy a phone number and you own it forever, just like an email address. And it's not expensive at all, especially if it's not a vanity number. And then you can do what's called porting to anywhere you are. And that's what Jill, as we've grown, that's what Jill and I have done. We move that phone number around. So it's always the same phone number, but it calls and somebody answers it. Maybe it's a virtual assistant. Jill and I have been lucky enough to have somebody that works up at the front desk in an office share situation at times. So, but what's important is own that number because it's going to be on all the mailers that you send out. And people send mail back for years and years after they receive it. And then it's also incredibly important to have somebody answer it. I mean, I know, Jill, you're a huge phone person. So, I mean, what's really the correct way?
Thank you for saving me. You forgot I skipped over the first part of the question as far as the phone number. And you're exactly right. You need to have that phone number and keep it. So,
Jill's a huge proponent of answering the phone, having somebody answer that phone when they call back.
Right.
I know. There's a lot of ways to do it.
Right. It's one of those pieces of this business that we're actually working to try to solve and help our members with, you know, maybe create our own little part of Data to Doorstep service of helping with the phone calls, you know, whether we take them and then email you or text you or just forward it to you or something like that to help our members is something that we're looking at.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're thinking about it. It's underway.
Right.
We will release a call service scenario for this.
Right.
Probably by the end of the year, maybe before, who knows?
Yeah.
And a mail service too. Same thing is true, Jeff, since you brought it up. It's just important to make sure that you have the same mailbox forever.
Right.
We have had the same business address since the 90s.
Right.
And you don't want to have it at your house because I talk about this all through the program. As you move, you're going to lose some mail. We get tons of letters from 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right. I know Seth, Seth Williams has a, he goes with like a phone system or like voicemails. And he says he has a good recording that I think he shares with people that he thinks he's got had good luck with. And that might work. But I mean, here's the whole big picture. You're sending out these offers. You want to talk to these people.
You want to maximize, do the stuff on the back end that maximizes your yield.
Right, because if the calls that you miss and the people that don't leave voicemails, those are potential acquisitions that you could miss. So this it may sound like a little thing in the front end, but it's kind of a big thing. So you, like I said, you really want
to... It's a huge thing.
You want to have a good phone number. You want to, like Jack said, keep that phone number. And then you want to have a friendly voice on the other end as often as you can. And if you can't do it in-house, hire it out. And if you really can't hire it out, gosh, you know, do your best with a voicemail, but and then call them back. And if you see a missed call, call those back. That's another good thing too. Make sure that whatever phone system you use, you can see what calls that come in, the inbound call and the phone numbers, and you call them back, you know, and let them know, hey, I had a missed call from this number. I know I sent somebody some offers out to buy some property. You know, is this, oh, well, yeah, you know, actually that was me. You know, I've got 5 acres. I don't know what to do with it. There you go. Now you can take it and run. So, and be prompt about it. Don't let days pass, you know, because then they're going to be like, eh, they'll, you know, they're over it kind of thing. So the quicker you can, the better.
If people don't want to do a deal with you, they're going to crumple your stuff up and throw it away.
Right.
If they're really angry and they call you back and say, my property's worth way more than this, convert them. I just had a deal review call with one of our members where this exact thing happened. This person owns a lot of real estate. That's their full-time job, like strip centers and stuff. And he sent a letter to the guy had some vacant property, and the guy called him back, called him all kinds of names and things like that, and then called him 3 days later and said, you know what? I need to do a 1031 exchange. I need to get rid of these two properties because they won't let me do it. It's confusing the deal. I will sell them to you for $9,000. They're worth like $80,000 or $90,000. But this guy's got such a much larger commercial deal that he needs to move these properties out of the way. Jill and I have done this before too, mm-hmm. where they don't qualify for a loan because they have too much assets. They
exactly.
need to sell them fast, like that day. So crazy stuff happens, and you want to be able to talk to the person on the phone when they call.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a ton of deals personally early on. Where, you know, because I didn't have a phone number. I answered the phone in the beginning. And the number was on caller ID. And so at the end of the week, I'd take the 20 or 30 or 40 people who just hung up and call them back and say, hey, I mean, I guess you got my offer because this is the only thing that this phone number's for. I did a lot of deals that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you're having this problem, this is good.
Exactly.
Once again, these are all rooted in great, you know, there's letters in the mail. People mm-hmm. are calling back. How do I manage it? I think I love it. Hey, today's topic is foreclosing on tax liens for land acquisitions. This is the meat of the show. Jill, this is one of my favorite topics.
I know. This is kind of all you. I'm just going to kind of sit back here.
I need you to, if it gets too brainy and boring, I need you to like give me a signal or call me a kook or something.
Okay.
We should have like a code word.
Okay.
And say... You're nuts again.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens is that people stop paying.
Kook. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh, that's going to happen.
I'm kidding.
People stop paying their taxes for whatever reason. Most of the time, between you and me, it's because they die. So the kids don't know about it. Whatever happens, but they stop paying, and they get lots of letters, and some time passes. This is the typical course. Every state's different. This is a typical course of action.
Letters from whom?
They get letters. Oh, thank you. They get letters from the taxing authority. 99% of the time, it's the county. Sometimes the taxing authority is a city or an HOA, homeowners association. And they say, look, you're way back on your taxes. This is years have gone by now. They're back on your taxes, and we're going to place a lien on the thing. And so now there's a tax lien. Well, investors like us or anybody else, or even people on Wall Street, can buy these liens as an investment vehicle. And you buy the lien, and so one of two things happens when you buy a lien. You either get paid the money back from the person who wants to keep the property. If they want to keep the property, they pay you the amount of the lien that you purchased plus interest. in Arizona. It's 16%, I think, in California. Is not a tax lien state, but there are sometimes there's tax liens, sometimes tax deeds, sometimes both. Or if they say, you know what, I never wanted this property anyway, I don't want to deal with it, take it. Then you foreclose on it.
Okay. Can I back up here?
Yeah.
So let me paint the picture. So my grandma passed on. I inherited the property. I didn't even know it existed. Next thing you know, these letters start popping up. I don't want this property. I asked all my relatives. Then nobody wants it. Fine. So more letters, more letters, more letters, more letters. Now, what's this letter? A tax lien? Someone's going to buy the amount of the taxes that I owe. And then if I want to get it back, I have to pay them back.
That's it.
So did they pay the county the taxes?
Yeah.
I owe $800 in taxes. Let's just say it's something. Mm-hmm. Could be $80. But let's just say I owe $800 in taxes. So you're saying to me this letter I got, it's just said, just now telling me, hey, by the way, you didn't pay the taxes, so this guy did. So you get to either A, pay him back plus the interest, or sit tight. He might get the property because he's at least somebody's paying the taxes.
That's right.
Okay.
That's a great summary.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's say, hey, will you pay the back? So that's a no-lose situation, in my opinion, for the investor. I'm oversimplifying this. It gets a lot more complicated, but the investor either gets 16% back in Arizona's case, or they end up with a fork, you know, if more and more time goes on, they end up foreclosing on the property and owning it for the amount of the back taxes. It's the single cheapest way to buy property, I think, even more than sending out letters. It's not efficient. Like sending letters, just, you know, those deals almost close themselves. But this is a way to get some cool property. We've done it.
How long? Many times. Okay, so I'm going to flip the whatever now. So now I'm the guy that paid the $800 in the taxes, and I'm sitting here, and I have 10 of these, and I'm fingers crossed that all these people don't follow through. So now I got one that didn't follow through. How much time has to pass before I can start the foreclosure process?
So every state's different, but in Arizona, a certain amount of time's got to pass. It's the lien has to be purchased, or it has to be at least 5 years from the auction, the initial auction date where they auction the tax lien off. There's over-the-counter tax liens. I don't want to make it all confusing. There's OTC tax liens where you can just walk in and buy them. And then there's there's an auction where you can purchase. You're literally bidding on the interest rate, and I don't want to confuse anybody. I've never purchased a tax lien at an auction.
Right.
I've only ever purchased the ones that are over the counter, where I know that I can sit there and look at the deal and make sure it works right. For our business model,
and not have to wait and see what's going to happen. I mean, that's the thing too. When you're doing this, you're gambling. You're rolling the dice that worst case scenario, I'm going to get my 16% back. That's at least what you know you're going to get, because that's the only way the person can basically reclaim the property. Is by paying back that amount plus that interest. So I know I got something, so that's not bad, but I'm really hoping to get that property. And then how long and how expensive is the foreclosure process?
It's it's called judicial foreclosure in Arizona anyway. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There used to be administrative foreclosure where you just bought the tax lien, they never paid, and the county foreclosed on it and issued a deed. They stopped doing that a long time ago. It's just too time consuming. But judicial foreclosure is a lawsuit, and you have to, it's all outlined by statutes, and it's about, yeah, it can be 6 months. It's not very long if you're within the right time.
Not very long in the, but I want the property. I want to flip it that fast. You just can't.
Okay, you can use that 6 months to market the heck out of the thing, and have it sold by the time you pay for it. So, you know, you just go through the process. There's a notice. You literally have to post it in the newspaper, which is seems crazy at this day and age, but there's a publication that you statutorily have to post it in the mm-hmm. newspaper. But man, I've done some unbelievable deals this way. All throughout this process, there's nothing stopping you from finding the owner, and the way the internet is, it's not that hard at all. And say, look, you're going to lose this property, and you clearly don't care.
Now we're talking.
So I'm going to send you a $100 check. And why don't you sign all the stuff that I sent you? It's a deed, and we just be done with this whole thing. And that's a good way to do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you really, before we get to that foreclosure part, that's the part that I love that makes the most sense is, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to get this property one way or the other. would you like to get some money out of it? I'll just give these to you now because I don't. Then I don't have to go through all the legal stuff. Yeah. You know, everybody wins.
I'm going to pay an attorney or I'm going to pay
and,
you?
And yeah, I'm going to pay an attorney or I'm going to pay you. I'd rather pay you. Right. That's exactly right. And if I got that phone call, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of would rather have that too. Right. So there you go. What is the, Jack, in your opinion, what kind of property is this the ideal thing for? Is there any particular property type that...
Land.
Okay. Any size? Any? I'm asking for like even like... You know, anything above $20,000 or anything like, because, you know, if it's a smaller property that's only worth a couple thousand, I'm not going to go through this whole process. It's so many other things I can get it. But if I'm looking at a $100,000 or 50 or whatever, what do you think? Is there a sweet spot?
It's all, no, there is no sweet spot. If you have a liquidation venue like we do on the internet where you post it and you can double and triple your money, that's pretty sweet. I've seen people, Los Angeles County has one of the largest tax auctions in the world, back tax auctions. Mm-hmm. It's not a tax lien, it's a tax deed auction in person. And, you know, I've seen people buy $150,000, $200,000 pieces of property that are worth millions. So as far as a sweet spot goes, it's all what your business model is.
Okay.
But I wanted to do a show on this, and if you turn the radio off because it's boring. I'm sorry, but some of this stuff, if you have the personality type like most of our members have, where you just want to, you want to sit down and really study it and get into it, you can have a whole very prosperous career foreclosing on tax liens. And here's another note: that vast majority of people who buy tax liens are people who just want the interest. They do not want to foreclose. That's not the business they're in. They're not in the real estate business.
They're in that 16%. I'm going to get it.
They're in the stock market business. Yeah. They look at it as an investment vehicle. Yeah, I want 16%. Even 8% for those guys are great. It's great. So those people are also posted everywhere. It's public record who owns bought a tax lien. Mm-hmm. If XYZ company out of Manhattan, New York, bought a slew of tax liens, call that person because there's a bunch that they're not going to pay. Right. And they'll take a substantial discount from what they paid to get it out of their portfolio.
Right.
So there's a play there too. So
cool.
I love it.
That's good.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill, inspire us after all the tax lien talk.
I know.
Let's talk about something nice and fun.
That's funny. And you know, pretty, nice and like fun you. And pretty. How about, I think this is nice and fun and pretty. Don't be afraid to let go of your projects. Sometimes, this is kind of a theme in case you haven't noticed this week, but we're making a lot of changes here, and it's easy to get, well, like even we talked about the Luke, you know, hiring scenario. Actually, that was a different call. I'm sorry. Or a different show, but I'm just thinking about examples. But we have one of our members who's working on hiring, and even we are hiring. And, you know, you go, there's things that you're working on, and you get so personally vested into a project. When it's time to pass it on, I watch this happen. People have a hard time letting go. And I want to make sure you don't let go. I mean, don't be afraid to let go, because if you can't do that, you might hold yourself back from doing other things. I learned, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's hard to let go sometimes. But the gauge that the question I ask myself is this: is can anybody really do this, or do I have to do it?
Right.
You know, I love to download the list from RealQuest and Data to Doorstep. Use the tools to do that we provide and analyze the data and choose who's going to get a letter and why. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the keys to our success and our most successful members, in my opinion, make those same choices. Then everything else after that's really just mechanical. Well, talking to the seller's not.
Do you know what's funny about that?
You will always do that.
But you want, here's the thing though, but that's your thing. But on the other time, you have had to let that go too.
Yeah.
Because there's times that you're just too busy.
I know.
And you really can't do it. And is it hard for you to let go?
For that, it's very hard. Actually,
yeah.
It's extremely hard.
That's what I'm saying.
To let go of talking to sellers and buyers is not hard for me.
Well, that's what I
not
mean.
Not hard for me at all.
So that's what I'm saying. There's some projects. That's what, you know, I mean, there's times that even though it's your baby, you're going to have to, you know, or you can't grow. I mean, that's it. If
you can't grow.
If, you know what? That's
right,
it.
Jill. Well
Jack,
said.
If you were the only person from day one since 1999 that was doing steps 1 through 5 in this company, we would not be here today.
Man, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you.
Change is tough sometimes, and you got to let go of some stuff, but it's all what's in your head, where your vision is. There, we have most of our members, I would venture to say, and Jill, tell me if you have a different perception because you're on the front lines more than me. They're one, maybe a two-man, two-person operation, and always will be. They want to make 10 or 15 or 20,000 bucks more a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy doing it like in one or two weekends and opening the mail and doing a couple deals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. We have several members who are nuts like me and just have to make it an institutional, you know.
Exactly.
A company.
Right.
And then at least other companies like this, like Land Academy.
Exactly. Thank you.
Very inspirational. Thank let's you. Let go, man. Yeah, let some of this stuff go.
Let those projects go.
Join us on another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Buy some tax liens. That's a good point, Jill. Buy one tax lien and foreclose on it and expect to do it all wrong. And I bet you won't, because if you can start that process, you're kind of a weirdo like me.
Hmm.
And it's just an A to B to C to D, and you're going to get a notice stamped back from a judge somewhere in the county that you foreclosed on it. If you did everything right, you're going to own a piece of property for like $68.
Mm-hmm.
Or hire an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do the first one. They might charge $800 or so. It's usually attorneys like in that, right in the local town.
You know, it's one of those things that I look at. I think it's you're either going to love it or you're either going to hate
it. Yes.
So I say either do one. I think you're, I do one and you might go, what the heck?
Yeah.
That was awful. That was painful. I didn't want to have to do all that. It was just too much work. I could have just bought and sold six over here easily, painlessly, you know, I don't know. And made that money.
You know, it always leads to something else for me. Once you start going down the road and you buy, let's say, six tax liens, and then you finally talk to somebody because you're trying to just do the $200 thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have 500 more properties over here. They know this guy. And it's another way that opens a door to talking to people who have a ton of property they just don't want. That's what our whole business is.
That's true. Just use it for that.
Yeah.
That's
the
good.
Wall Street guys miss the point. You know, there's a lot of Wall Street companies buying hordes, tranches of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that don't work, they sell them off cheap or at a loss. And there's no boots on the ground there.
Exactly.
And that's the real value, I think.
Right.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.